as I see in your discussions with Robin Hyde, well, it's likely that the agreements actually will be of the form that Mr Dunn had in the 2005 to 2008 election, and it's likely that they will be consistent across all the parties, although that's yet to be concluded with the other parties. Obviously.
Have you got that same agreement for support no matter what?
Look, I'm confident we'll be able to conclude an agreement with United Future.
What particular strengths does Mr Dunn have that you think
Well, he brings a number of things to the table. He's clearly a very experienced parliamentarian and an experienced minister and a successful minister. And I think that's going to be very useful to a National League government. And secondly, we reached an agreement before the election that we felt in principle we could work together after the election, and we're honouring that agreement.
Why is it important to have this negotiation with United Future?
Well, I think it's important because from our perspective, obviously we can put together a government with technically the smallest number of votes to ensure the confidence and supply of the House, but not anymore. But from our perspective, it's about building a bigger block, a more stable government, building long-term relationships, proving we can work with other parties in good faith. And I think Peter brings a lot to the table. He's a minister that's worked under the kind of regime that we're considering in 2005 and 2008.
But at the end of the day, you're 59, he's one. You've got all the power in this negotiation. Peter's pretty much going to have to take what you choose to give him.
Well, we're going to work in good faith, and just because we're the largest doesn't mean we're bullies. It's about building a relationship that can progress over the years ahead.
What are you going to have to answer
today? Well, I'm not going to talk about policy gains today. As the Prime Minister-elect said, we've had a pretty broad and very amicable discussion on a lot of issues, some of which we've talked about many times now, and we'll now proceed to look at putting some of those down in a more written form, and that discussion will take place over the next 24 hours or so.
So it's relatively general in nature, your meeting today. Did you really get in down to any brass tacks?
We talked about a few specific issues, but I think it's fair to say this was a general discussion rather than a sort of dotting the I's and crossing the T's one.
What portfolio do you want?
I think that's a rather strange question to ask me in front of the man who will be allocating the portfolios.
He obviously wants something, he's in a position to get that, we're all interested.
Yes, I know you're interested. We've all talked about that too, but that will come out in due course.
And when you've got so many of your own sort of members who'll be wanting portfolios, and they have, they want to be ministers, how are you going to balance those needs with, people like Peter Dunn?
Well, we also need to balance our long-term objectives, and they are, we live in an MMP environment that requires us to work, with other parties. We reached an agreement in principle with United Future before the election. It's important to me that I honour my word and my commitment to Mr Dunn that we follow through with that. And actually, beyond all of any kind of loose arrangements we had before the election, I want to work with Peter. I think he can add a lot to a National League government. He's got experience, he's got skills, and I think he can be an important part of taking New Zealand onto a pathway which sees stronger economic growth and one of the things we can help with.
Why should a party with such a small portion of the public vote have a ministerial portfolio?
Because I said there's skills and there's history and there's commitments we've made.
Was that a promise you made before the numbers came out in the election, though? Do you wish now that you hadn't made that deal or that promise?
I certainly don't wish that I made any difference or commitments before the election. As I said, when we met before the election date, before the election was held, I said I envisaged Mr Dunn being a minister. I continue to envisage him being a minister.
Jim Anderson managed about number three, I think it was, in the Labour administration. Could Mr Dunn be as high?
I think it's a little premature to debate that, but it's also unlikely that it would be the same kind of relationship involved with progressives.
Have you had any more constitutional advice about when you can be sworn as an MP and sworn as a Prime Minister?
We had some advice this morning. We're working our way through that. And I'm confident that the progress that we're making and the timetable that has been set is one that was likely to see us in a position where I could be sworn in and therefore attend APEC, but there's still more work to be
done. So that would have to be by next Tuesday, would it, in terms of the swearing-in?
Mid-next week.
But, I'm sorry, Senator, point your head, but don't you have to be an MP to be Prime Minister? Be sworn as an MP too.
Yeah, well, as I say, I'm confident we're working through a timetable that would allow that to take place.
We're just doing a piece tomorrow on Clark and Cullen and their relationship over the years. So
right.
Can you just maybe give me a comment on that and how you envisage your relationship with Bill English and whether you'd have a similar type of relationship?
Well, my guess is, just looking at it externally, it's been an important relationship from both perspectives. Michael Cullen's been the workhorse of the Labor Party and has provided an awful lot of grunt here in Parliament and in Wellington. Helen Clark has taken the leadership role and the role of representing the government both domestically and internationally, so they've had different kind of relationship. I think it's been a long and you've got to argue, pretty successful political partnership. I'm absolutely sure that Bill English and I will have a very similar type of relationship. Bill's well renowned for his academic ability. He's going to be clearly Deputy Prime Minister and also very important cog in the government. And I'll have clearly responsibilities that accrue to being Prime Minister.
And maybe looking at a similar situation where he could be involved in a lot of that policy grunt, leaving you to sort of front and represent the party.
That would be my expectations.
John, have any concessions been made today in terms of the two meetings you've had, which have any bearing on your meeting tomorrow with the Māori Party? I mean, are you expecting anything from today to come into the discussions tomorrow at all?
No, but what I have done is, as I've met with the various party leaders today and as I'll do tomorrow with the Māori Party, is just give them an indication of the kind of structure and the way that we're going, the sorts of things that we're looking to achieve. Is likely that we would make sure that the party's got an opportunity to understand the sorts of arrangements that we've met so that they don't feel uncomfortable with where we're going. But actually, certainly the two we've had so far are neatly fitting together, I think, as far as the progress we've made so far. The Māori Party I'll have to report back on that when I know more tomorrow.
Because the Māori Party wouldn't be quite as neat a fit with you, would it, with negotiations?
No. One could argue that's the case, but I would say to you that we have got a long-term objective there, and as I said this morning, I believe it's in the best interest potentially of the National Party, the Māori Party, and actually of Parliament, for us to see whether we can put together an arrangement now. Maybe we will be able to, maybe we won't. I'll just have to see
Have you informed the Governor-General already, or are you intending to?
No. I mean, the Governor-General looks, as I understand it, constitutionally for concrete statements of support from the party leaders. And at this point, obviously, it would be a little too soon, although the statement, obviously, that Mr. Hyde made, that he will be supporting a National League government, will be the sort of statement that the Governor-General will be looking toward.
You've got 59 MPs turning up to caucus tomorrow. I mean, have you actually got enough jobs for them all?
Certainly do. We've got a lot of work to do over the next 3 years. But look, I'm looking forward to welcoming them to Parliament. For those that are new and it's their first time, I remember my first day in Parliament. They'll be coming in under slightly happier terms than I did in 2002. But it'll be a hugely exciting day for them, one that they'll never forget. It's an exhilarating experience, and it's quite a humbling experience when the New Zealand public give you their support and allow you to represent them in Parliament.
Do you think that you've ended up with more influence by throwing your lot on with National rather than trying to negotiate post-election talks with only one MP?
Well, it's a moot point. One of the reasons why we made that call before the election was because this election, unlike previous ones, had seen a very strong public call for parties to declare where they stood, and we thought that that was the appropriate thing to do. The consequences of that will work themselves out over the next couple of days, but I don't know whether I don't have a crystal ball in that sense.
But you probably, it'd probably be a fair call to say you have ended up in a stronger position going in. You gave the support to National with one seat. You wouldn't have really had a lot of negotiation.
Oh, well, you could argue that. We gave the support to National workers. We thought it was in the best long-term interests of New Zealand that National form the next government. The consequences of that in terms of what happens to me are secondary, really. But we've got a good working relationship, and John and I have talked for many months now about the sorts of directions New Zealand might follow, and we've found we've got so much common ground that it just seemed a logical thing to say we would support them after the election, and I'm sure we can work very well together.
So can I just clarify, you haven't formally pledged like ACT competence and supply yet?
I thought I said that in October actually, when we met.
So that's pretty much in place now, it's just really
the details. We wouldn't have been having this meeting today had we not given that commitment.
Mr. Keane, in terms of your discussions with Mr. Hyde, obviously his statement today was considerably different than what he was saying on TV last night. How did those discussions go, and what about Roger Douglas in particular?
Well, I don't think it was different in the sense that all the way through, you know, Mr. Hyde made it quite clear to ACT supporters that he would be ensuring that there was a national-led government if there possibly could be. Now, exactly the form of that relationship is work in progress, and I think that is proceeding well. But you know, I wasn't surprised that he came and pledged his support, because that was my understanding of where he was at. Now, you know, how the final relationship works out is yet to be seen. In terms of Mr. Douglas, you know, I've made that quite clear through the entire campaign, in the same way that I made it blindingly clear to everybody that I wouldn't be dealing with Winston Peters. And the New Zealand public is going to see that over the next 3 years, when I say something categorically, I mean it.
Mr. Key, Ian Higgins from The Australian.
Sure.
Would you anticipate that you might be in a position to give some one or two ministries to the Māori Party if this arrangement comes to fruition?
Well, I'm not going to rule that out, but nor am I going to prejudge those conversations before I actually have them with the Māori Party. We're going to enter those negotiations in good faith. I think there's quite a lot of common ground, and we'll see how it progresses.
Back to Mr. Hyde, do you have timings in terms of next meetings and when you're expecting to come to a final?
1 o'clock tomorrow.
9 o'clock.
1 o'clock tomorrow.
When would you hope to? You might be able to go to the Governor General and seek a commission.
Look, potentially that is. You know, arguably quite soon, from the perspective that because ACT has pledged its confidence in supply, technically speaking, that puts us in a strong position. And Peter doing the same from United's perspective means those numbers are larger, and so there's less potential movement under the specials anyway. Secondly, we wouldn't really want to do that necessarily until we've actually concluded the agreements with the various parties, or at least with United and ACT. It may take longer than another party.
Are you expecting written agreements?
They'll certainly be written.
<I hope so. laughs>